Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
Tonight, I want to continue on in Seed Time and Harvest. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we read the parable of the farmer scattering seed. We talked about in verse 20 how that's not the end of the parable. It continues to go on in verse 21 through 29, on into 30, and on down to 34. And so let's start on verse 26, where we left off last week. Jesus also said, and this is in red letters, this is Jesus talking, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows. But he doesn't understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come." Church, as you read this, I want you to understand, once again, as we go back, a man sows, verse 28 is very important that we see this. The earth produces the crops on its own. Say on its own. You got to get this. Very important. The earth produces it on its own. What's that saying? As a man sows, that's telling you that the word will do it, its thing, on its own. It's automatic. It's automatic. See, if we could get the word in our hearts and believe it and stand on it, the word's just going to do it automatically. It's going to happen. See, people oftentimes, they quit tending before the harvest. I mean, they're this close. I've watched it 100 times. Then be this close to a breakthrough in whatever area they were believing God for. This close. And then they quit. They quit tending. They quit tending. They quit feeding. They quit watching for it to grow. They quit waiting for it to do it on its own. They just quit. Years ago, we were eating Chinese. I'm a Chinese fan. And in Chinese food, there's one little thing they put in there, and I can't stand it. But it looks like miniature corn. Has anybody seen those little? Some of y'all love them things. To me, they just ruin the taste, so I get them all out. Well, anyway, Tristan was there and was talking to my grandfather, and they were visiting about this little miniature corn. And she said, "I wonder how they grow this. Where does this come from?" So, of course, Tristan was young enough that we had to do some investigation to find out. And I don't remember if she found out or who found out. But anyway, we found out that miniature corn, it is grown, and it's the same as big corn. It's just harvested early. That's why it's so horrible. They took it before it was ready. But that was my opinion. But that little corn, see, they take it before it was big enough to get all it could have had. And people are looking for a harvest before it's time. And I was just thinking that was a great illustration because, really, people don't know where their help will come. They don't know the answer to tomorrow's question. I mean, everybody's got a question they don't have the answer to. And they're sitting here going, "Oh God, I just don't know what I'm going to do here." Well, what I'm telling you is there's a way that you can get it. But you have to understand a principle. It's very important. And I'm going to say this tonight, and you're going to see this all the time on Facebook, and you're going to think, that is not right. And be careful about trying to argue this publicly. But I want you to hear what I'm saying. God is not moved by our needs. And many people think that he is. "God, I'm in so much need. Why won't you answer?" Because God's not moved by needs. There'd be no one starving in the whole world if God was moved by needs. See, God is not moved by needs. But many people think that he is. And so they're going to post on Facebook. They're going to call the church. They're going to call you and say, "I have a need. Aren't you a Christian?" Well, let me just tell you, God's not moved by needs. That's hard to hear, but I'm just telling you. Oh, wait, aren't you supposed to be this? And aren't you supposed to feed the poor and feed the hungry and give aid to the poor? And I get all of that. And yes, but you're trying to tell me God is moved by a need and he's not. Well, so what is God moved by? God is moved by faith. God is moved by faith. And we miss this all the time. Now, let me just tell you this. Moms and dads oftentimes are moved by needs. So that's where it can get real confusing. I mean, parents can be moved by needs. Now, not all the time they are. And if they're careful and not moved by a need all the time and understand that they've got to teach that principle into their kids. Because if you just answer every little need your kid ever has, well, we have to supply some. Yes, I agree with that. But I'm talking about if you just everything they want that they see as a need and you supply that all the time, then they're going to expect God to do that. And God's not moved by needs. God's moved by faith and a belief system but parents oftentimes can be moved by needs. You know, my mom was moved by needs a lot. And I know that when my daughters convince Michelle and I that they have a need, we're moved. And every parent in here would say, yeah, I agree. You're not going to convince God that you're in enough need to be met something. See, that's where we get messed up, because you can convince a parent. Come on. You understand what I'm saying? I can convince my mom, I'm in need. And she, oh, bless your heart. Dad was a little tougher. And most people have a mom or a dad, and one of them's a little tougher than the other. And then that's not always just mom or dad. But in my situation, that's the way it was. But my kids know that probably if they're going to come and get something out of me and her, it's going to have to come to me. Because I'm probably going to be moved quicker than Michelle. And they know which one will move faster on what subjects. Come on, everybody here does. And you're thinking about your mom and dad. I know, which one would you go to, mom or dad? Well, it depends on what it was. If I'm needing money, I know who to go to. If I'm needing a permission, I know which one to go to. See, and we know which one's going to give in first, and the kids know that. All right, that's not my topic tonight. I'm getting on a sidetrack. But here's what you got to know. You're never going to take that same principle and move God. See, you got to get what I'm saying, and I'm spending a little time on it because I want to see it kind of click. God is not moved by your need. Well, isn't that sad? That's just sad. I mean, I thought he cared about us. He does. That's why he's not moved by your need. He wants you to have faith in him. He wants you to have faith. God is moved by faith. See, if you could make your need sound bad enough, a parent will give in, but God doesn't. And what we're doing is we're praying, God, please be moved by my need. People will start telling God all the trouble they're in. And what are they doing? When they're telling God all the trouble they're in, God, I'm in so much trouble. I'm in so much financial trouble. I'm in so much trouble in my marriage. God, I'm in so much trouble with my kids. God, I'm just in so much trouble. And what are they doing? They're confessing to God their trouble. Now you think about this for a second. They're confessing to God their trouble. Jesus said, whoever believes in their heart and says with their mouth, they can have what they say. What are you saying all the time? Trouble, 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 trouble. Well, you just keep confessing that. What are you getting? Trouble, 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 trouble. You can have what you say. You can have what you say you got. And people say their problem, continue to say their problem. They have their problem and it just goes over and they continue to have it. See, there's nothing wrong with prayer, but I want you to understand it's important that you set yourself in agreement with someone and believe God for what your promise is. That's what needs to be coming out of your mouth, not all your troubles. Well, Pastor, how do I do that? See, I don't know my solution. Yeah, but God does. Well, I don't know how it's coming about. I know, but by faith in his promise, I know it's coming. Well, I just don't know how I'm going to get groceries next week. God, I'm going to claim your word because I know a man that don't work don't eat. So I'm going to go work. I'm going to claim your word, and I'm believing you that I'm going to be able to eat next week. I'm believing you in your word, and I'm believing that right now, as I go out my hand to the plow, I'm believing that you're not going to leave me I'm just, you're coming through for me, and I know you are, and I'm believing for it right now for a great dinner on Monday night, and I thank you, Lord, in advance for it. Or, God, I just don't know what to do. We don't have any food in the house, and we just, do you see the difference? People are praying their need. They're not praying their promise. And when you don't pray your promise, then you're not having faith, and God's not moved. My wife is just so mean to me, and I don't know, and she just drives me crazy, Lord. I just don't know what to do with her. I mean, I'm thinking about divorce, and maybe that's an option, and I just don't know, and on and on and on and on. Or, God, I thank you for the wonderful spouse that you gave me, and Lord, that I've committed to, and I'm just above, and I'm not beneath, and I'm believing you, God, for your promise in my marriage. You instituted this as the first institution in the Word. My marriage is going to be healed. It's going to be well. I'm going to walk in the fruit of a great... Do you hear the difference in those two prayers? But I've never had someone come into my office praying the second one that having marriage trouble. They're always talking about the first one. Well, I just don't know why it's not happening for me. You continue to stand on God's promise and you wait for your harvest to get to the full piece of corn, not the little miniature one. Well, he was nice to me and so I just take it and then you quit praying. No. No, leave that right there, and let's not try to get this harvest until it's complete. The earth takes care of itself. There's a growing process. And see, as faith comes, the Word of God says that you can have what the Word of God says you can have. And there's a whole lot of things you can have. See, what happens is we quit knowing we can have it. We quit tending it. We quit making sure that it's covered in our hearts. And see, the heart will grow it. The heart will grow it, and through time, as you continue to feed the Word in, it'll bring it forward. But the seed has got to get in the heart. You can't know what to pray. You can't pray the Word of God when the Word of God isn't in your heart and you know to pray it. So it's just not going to happen. The Word of God's got to get in your heart. The seed can't be left in the bag and you expect something to grow. It just can't. The earth... The heart, the inner man, the earth. Think about it. The earth, the heart. It'll bring forth what it will if you'll get the correct seed in there. The earth will bring forth what you put in it, and so will your heart if you get the right seed in it. People pray for healing, and they pray for things, and they pray for attitudes, and they expect it right this second. God, I prayed just 5 minutes ago. Why ain't it here? God, I prayed yesterday. Why isn't it here? See, when it doesn't come in their time, and here's what really frustrates me, is when people start praying for something and then they put a time frame on it. God, here's what I'm believing you for by Friday. Well, you didn't get in the mess you're in since last Friday. The mess you're in has come from a lifetime of spending wrong. And you're expecting a financial blessing by Friday. So that's not thinking right. Oftentimes, I see people leave the church because they come in with a need and the church may have met it initially or helped initially. I've seen this happen a lot. And then they're believing God. Well, God met it the last time, so he's going to meet it next time. And they haven't given enough time and correct teaching and correct things being planted in the heart. And so they leave the church because they didn't get the harvest in the time they were expecting it. I've watched this 100 times. People come into church, but I'm just wanting my marriage to get better. You didn't mess this thing up in 5 minutes. This has taken 5 years. This has taken 10 years. It's going to take some time. See, we got to give the time to God to get the harvest we're looking for. You can't take a harvest too early. You got to keep feeding the Word, feeding the Word, feeding the Word. Build your faith. That moves God, and then you start to see the things ripen and the harvest coming. Are you getting this tonight? Two of you. God's word produces. It will produce. If you're praying for a healing or believing for God's promise in your life, then you need to hang your hat on that and not quit. Whatever it is, you need to hang the hat there and say, "What, God, I'm believing you." And there are times that God says, "This is for you, but you're going to have to do it the right thing over time. It's coming, it's coming." And I had a piece about that in my personal life, in my marriage. In the first marriage retreat we went to, I told her, "I got it. I got what I needed. And so we ought to be great now, right?" And the laugh she just had right then was the exact same laugh she had after I told her we ought to be great now, right? It wasn't even remotely going to be all right. But in my mind, it was all right then. I needed my harvest right then. And I went home and I thought, what is wrong with her? And I started thinking, what's wrong with her is what I've been thinking the whole time's wrong with her. We didn't get anything out of that retreat. Nothing happened. And then I went back and I said, whoa, wait a minute here. That was just a seed. And you can't expect that seed to produce the harvest you're looking for when you just planted it last week. Now, you got to take what I'm saying tonight, and you can't just say, well, my marriage is good, Pastor. That doesn't make any sense to me. You got to transfer that over to whatever your promise is that you're believing God for. I don't know what it is in each one's life. I'm just telling you, if it's a healing, if it's a family situation, I don't care what it is, you're going to have to plant the right seed and keep producing with that, or keep planting and keep tending and keep feeding. Don't get discouraged. Continue to believe in the promise God gave you. I want to get to the point, church, and hear me tonight. I want to get to the point where I don't need a miracle. Does that make sense? See, I want to get to the point where I'm not, God, I just need a miracle in this situation. You know what? I don't need a miracle. I've been planting seed for a long time. I've been tending it. I've been watching over it. And I'm just walking in the harvest continually of the things that I planted. And I think that as a Christian, you ought to get to that place. You ought to get to the place where you're not just, God, I just need a miracle here. No. Miracles in Scripture always happen in situations where there is something drastically wrong going on. Every time you see a miracle, something bad has happened and God came on the scene and miraculously changed it, but it was always to point people to Him so then they could be discipled and understand that they don't have to have that miracle. They can plant the right seed over time and just walk in the harvest. Are you following? That just makes sense. And I'm like, okay, I want my life to be productive. So I plant the right things and then I receive the right things. I want to have some money, so I plant some money. I do some right things with my money. Over time, I see the tending of that and then I have a harvest on my money. I do the right things in my marriage. Yeah, I can go out every Friday night. I can do something that doesn't include her, or I can make sure that what I'm doing, we're doing together and we're working on things together and we're working on life together. And then I start getting a harvest of, God, I need a miracle in my marriage. I don't need a miracle in my marriage. I plant the right thing, I watch over it, and I tend it, and then I continually walk in a harvest in my... It ought to be like that with every situation in your life when you as a Christian will get a hold of the message I'm speaking tonight. See, that's for you tonight. I think that's just, as we dive into the Word, it starts, oh, that makes perfect sense. Mark 4, verse 28, the earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf of blade pushes through. Then the heads of wheat are formed, and then the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes, harvests it, because harvest time has come. I read that, and I think of where Christians have messed this verse up for years, because they just kind of ignored it. Well, they say, of course, of course. Let me tell you what I get out of this. The planter has a right to the harvest. The farmer comes and does what? Receives what he planted. I'm just telling you, I get sick and tired of people saying, well, you just got lucky in your marriage. There wasn't no luck about it. There wasn't no luck about it at all. I'm harvesting what I planted. You're just lucky financially. Nope. I'm just harvesting what I plant based on the promises of God. I'm just harvesting it. So what? There's no luck in the things of God if you do it the right way and you get it. You have a right to it. And here's the part that sickens me about all of this is I get tired of Christians saying, well, I don't deserve that. You planted and tended it. You most certainly deserve it. You deserve your harvest. People thinking they don't deserve what is theirs. You have a right to the blessing. I've never seen or heard of a farmer going out and saying, oh, this is just a great crop and I just don't deserve this. But I hear Christians saying it all the time. You most certainly deserve the blessings of God. Sow the word in your heart and the harvest belongs to you. There's nothing selfish about that. There's nothing selfish about that. Verse 30. Jesus said, how can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade. You know, Jesus could only speak as much as what they were able to understand. And I don't know about you, but I've tried oftentimes to explain something that is past the ability of who I'm talking to understand it. And I know that that can be frustrating for both parties. If you're trying to explain something that's just past their ability to understand. And usually it's the other way around for me. It's not me telling somebody. It's usually me being the one who someone's trying to tell me something that I don't have a clue. And I'm kind of nodding like I do, but I don't have a clue. And everybody here has been there. You hear the doctor start talking and you're like, and then my wife or someone, what did the doctor say? I don't have a clue. What? They're just talking over your head. And I'm like, he said you're going to live. Okay, great. And hope you're not dying. I don't understand sometimes what people are saying. And I try. And I'm just like, oh, I don't get it. Jesus understood how to talk to them in a way that they could get a hold of it. And I know doctors and different people who are highly intelligent trying to talk to me who's not so intelligent in their field can be frustrated. And I know at school it's tough. I mean, sometimes you're trying to help a math student, and I've had this happen several times, that's younger, and you know a bunch of the ways to work that problem because you are well-educated in math like years past them, and they don't know all of the ways to come up with the answer that you do. And so you say, well, why don't you just think about it like this? Well, I've never been taught that. And so you're trying to find out what they do know so you can, and are you getting what I'm saying? So everybody understands that. So here's what Jesus says. He goes, how can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? And I think that that is put there for our benefit because Jesus is saying, I've got to be able to get into you so that you understand what I'm saying. And I'm glad that Jesus thought about him communicating to me in my uneducated state. Or aren't you glad the Bible's not written to where you have to be a scholar to understand it? Jesus said it in a common term where you can get a hold of it. And so he uses mustard seed. Well, as you dive into Scripture, there's more and more that starts being revealed, and you're just oftentimes blown away. But Tom Underhill, wonderful man of God, pastor, Russellville Christian Center in Russellville, Arkansas, he had a study done at the University of Hebrew Study in Jerusalem. And he said, I want to know what it is about the mustard seed that's so important. And some of you all have heard Tom talk about this, and I learned it several years ago, and it made sense to me. But the thing about a mustard seed is it's one of the only seeds that will not cross-pollinate. You can't cut it up and cross-pollinate it with something else. Now, seeds are an amazing thing because you can take one seed and take another seed and you can pollinate and you can cross-pollinate and you can make bigger and better and different and other. You know, you can get different results depending on how you cross-pollinate them. But a mustard seed, you can't cross-pollinate. And I thought, well, that's really cool, but why is that such a big deal? Here's why. Faith has to be pure to produce. Faith has to be unhindered. It can't have doubt associated with it. Faith and doubt together make faith not work. You either have faith or you have doubt, but you don't have both because they don't work together. Are you hearing me? A mustard seed cannot cross-pollinate. So you can't take anything other than the mustard seed and let it produce. And so what Jesus was saying to them in that day and time is, listen, you guys understand a mustard seed, it stands alone. Nothing else goes with it. It's going to do only what it does. And what you need to understand at this point, see, Jesus is telling them, and now this is for us today as we've proven this, and understand it and go, wow, that's the coolest thing ever. A mustard seed in and of itself will not cross-pollinate. What he's telling you is, church, is you ought to get this, is faith and doubt together won't work. Faith has to be all by itself to produce. Faith's got to be all by itself. You can't mix faith and doubt and get anything or get anywhere with it. Verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 4, as he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell in a footpath, and the birds come and ate it. We talked about that here a couple weeks ago. The birds coming and eating the seed. And as I remember as a kid reading Mark chapter 4, all I could think about as a kid is, well, the birds come and stole a bunch of seed in that one story. Not really realizing what all that was about, but the birds just come and stole a bunch of seed. Well, if you look, he mentions birds again here in verse 32. Well, in scripture, birds are demonic a lot of times. And in this parable, it's the same thing. The birds in verse 4, in verse 15, in verse 32, they could be looked at as Satan. Satan, because see, birds being demonic, and as you look in the Old Testament, Abraham's sacrifice in the Old Testament, the birds were demonic. And so you start studying this, for those of you that are really into studying Scripture, you can see where the birds were demonic. So here in verse 31, the birds come in verse 32, the birds come and make nests in the shade of the faith that now you've received the harvest in. Okay, so whatever you are believing for, in my case, and I've been using this illustration all night, so I'll continue with it, my marriage going good. Marriage is going great. So my faith produced over time a good marriage by continuing to believe God for the promise and doing the tending and watching over and continually planting. So now we got a good marriage. Verse 32, the faith produced the largest of all garden plants, long branches, the birds come and make nests in it. So what I want you to see is, after you get a harvest, Satan is still going to be there trying to ruin it for you. You don't just get the harvest and don't ever have to worry about him again. I understand that in my marriage, Satan's going to be working on trying to hang out in the shadows of my marriage and trying to ruin what's going on. And I get all of that, but he is in the shadow. The shadow is a representation of the real thing, but it's not the real thing. And what I don't want to do is I don't want to give him any attention. He's going to do everything he can to wreak havoc, but I'm not going to give him the attention that he's wanting. The birds come. Now, there's a lot of other stories you're going to hear about this if you do much study on this. But basically, the word of God in your heart leaves Satan in the darkness, and you got to know that. Where God is, Satan can't be. So you keep the word of God in your heart and Satan can't be there. Now he might be in the shadows lurking and trying to figure out a way to get in, and he's always going to be trying to attack, but you just keep feeding, keep sowing, keep putting the right thing in, because the word supersedes Satan. The word supersedes Satan. And what I'm telling you is there's a harvest available and it's ours. And we've got to know that we're going to walk in it, we're going to pray it, we're going to believe it, we're going to tend it, we're going to feed it, and we're going to get it. And we're going to quit as a church having to depend on a miracle. We're just going to plant the right thing. Seed time and harvest.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.